for all that we need. Thank you for singing, ladies, tonight. Appreciate that. Appreciate the choir. Appreciate everything God done for us today. But we want to try to pick up on the second point of that message. You said we had 10 this morning. Well, I really didn't think about that this afternoon. I thought about it. Well, I thought I preached one point to them, but I did 10. And we'll try to not do 10 tonight anyway. Amen. God may get in, may do 12, I don't know. But anyway, I pray God gets in it, amen. Turn your Bible to the book of Daniel, chapter 5. Daniel, chapter number 5. Let's stand, please, while we read the Word of God. We're going to read starting at verse number 1, chapter 5, book of Daniel. Belshazzar, the king, made a great feast to 1,000 of his lords and drank wine before the 1,000. Belshazzar, whilst he tasted the wine, commanded to bring the golden and silver vessels, which was his father's Nebuchadnezzar, had taken out of the temple which was in Jerusalem, that the king and his princes, his wives, and his concubines might drink therein. They brought the golden vessels that were taken out of the temple of the house of God, which was at Jerusalem. And the king and his princes and his wives and his concubines drank in them. They drank wine, praised the gods of gold and of silver and of brass and of iron, of wood and of stone. In the same hour there came forth fingers of a man's hand, and wrote over against the candlestick under the plaster of the wall of the king's palace. And the king saw the part of the hand that wrote. Then the king's countenance was changed. His thoughts troubled him so that the joints of his loins were loosed, and his knees smote one against another. We'll stop reading there. You'll notice verse number 5 talks about the fingers of a man's hand. And here's the second place in Scripture you find the fingers of God writing something. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus, and thank you tonight for the privilege to be back in the house of God. I thank you, Lord, for everyone's come this way, and I do pray in Jesus' name that you bless the songs that have been sung. Father, thank you for the adult choir. Thank you, Lord, for the little folk that sang for us. I pray you bless them. And then, Lord, I'm thankful for parents have her children in the house of God. And I pray, God, you bless them. Thank you for the girls that just sang. I pray you bless them and help them. And then, Lord, we pray now for the preaching word of God. We need a divine touch. I need you to help me. I need that divine touch physically, spiritually, emotionally. Father, tonight that you'll take me and help me to be in the hand of God, used of God. And Father, realizing the fact that without you we can do nothing. And so I pray in Jesus' name as we stand in this place and try to bring this message, the power of God, take the word of God and speak to hearts, bring conviction, draw to Jesus, and we give you all the glory and all the praise for everything that you do. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You may be seated. I want you to turn back with me just for a moment to Exodus chapter 31, verse 18, the verse that we read this morning. And I want to read that to you, and then we'll summarize just quickly and then try to get into the message for tonight. In this handwriting of God, I said this morning, I want to say it again for sake of some that may have not been here this morning. All the Bible is the Word of God, I believe. By the way, this year is the 400th anniversary of the King James Bible being written, 1611. This is 2011. So 400 years we have had this Word of God in King James Version. I thank God for that. And God has given us His Word, preserved it. And I believe it is a preserved, inerrant, and complete Word of God that we have. Thank God for it. But now in verse 18 of Exodus chapter number 31, "And he gave unto Moses, when he had made an end of communion with him upon the Mount Sinai, two tables of testimony, tables of stone written with the finger of God." And then we went back in Exodus 20 and read you those commandments and what God had said and what he wrote, and talked about that. Then we dealt with the fact that Israel quickly went out of the way, and they quickly made a molten calf and bowed to it and went astray, and God's wrath was up, and Moses had to plead for the people, else God would have destroyed all of them except for Moses, and he would have raised up another generation. But Moses pled for them, and we need to plead tonight for folk that are lost without God. We need to plead for those out of the will of God. We need to plead because the wrath of God may be pronounced on some, that you and I can stand in the gap and make up a hedge and plead for them that they may be right with God, get right with God. Wouldn't that be great? Don't you have somebody you love to see get right with God? Isn't there somebody in your mind, your heart, that you'd love to see and that would steal your heart if they'd come and get right with God? I can think of some real quickly I'd love to see come and pray for and ask God to help us as we pray that God would do that. And we talked about and then took New Testament principles that was and statements and verses that were made in the New Testament back up. Same thing was said in the Old Testament. And again, I remind you that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Same God in the New Testament is the God in the Old Testament. Same God. Now, we realize we live in dispensation, different dispensation. We realize that God deals differently with people in certain ways according to what dispensation they're in, how much light they've had. We have the whole Word of God. We have it all. And Jesus has already died and rose from the dead. He's already ascended back into heaven, and he has given us a commission to carry the gospel into all the world. And so this is the age of the church, dispensation of grace, and I thank God for the privilege that we have to live in this generation and preach the Word of God. It's a privilege to be so doing so. I thank God for it. Amen. And praise God. But in the verses we talked about this morning, we talked about the demands of God or his commandments. You command somebody something, you demand it of them. And so I call it demands to keep an alliteration going for the first three main points, and under those it may go anywhere. But anyway, and we talked about the demands, and God does have some demands. By the way, he created us. He has every right to tell us what to do. Has every right to tell us how we ought to live, has every right to command us and to give us his word. And he gave us his word so we would know what he expects out of us, and that would be our desire and our privilege. I believe I wound up this morning talking about 1 John chapter 2, where it said, I forgot exactly how it's written, but whereby by these things we know that you love the Lord because you keep his commandments, and he that saith he loveth the Lord and keepeth not his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. That's pretty plain language. And so if you love the Lord, you have a desire to do what God says. And I say tonight that ought to be all of our desires, is to do what God says. And some folk take it lightly and say, well, it doesn't apply to us. But I think I took enough scripture this morning and tried to show you in the New Testament and what God said in those commandments. We need to heed, take heed to it. And I still believe it's a good thing to hang a Ten Commandments up anywhere you can. Amen. And we need to be reminded of those things day by day. But now in chapter 5 of Daniel, we come to the doom. And I want you to get this tonight. I know that's not a pleasant subject, but I think it's one that we need to preach. And so may God help us tonight as we think about not only demands God had, but now here's a doom for the disobedience of man. And seeing this doom, I pray that God would help us tonight to share with you the sin. You're looking at Belshazzar, and here he is in verse number 3. And they brought the gold, and vessels were taken out of the temple of the house of God, which was at Jerusalem. And the king and his wives and concubines and princes, they all drank wine out of those vessels that had been dedicated to the Lord and set apart for him. But they'd taken them away from Jerusalem when Nebuchadnezzar had taken that city and ransacked it and took away and brought them down. And now he calls for them and brings them in to drink wine out of. Here's a drunken party, if you please. And that's nothing new in our day, amen. Hey, young folk, you hear me well. Those folk that say they have a great time at drunken parties, you ought to see them the next day. And y'all talk to them sometime when they're trying to get themselves together and sick and everything else. And y'all realize the fact that drinking liquor and strong drink and taking drugs and all that stuff only leads down a path of destruction. It'll take you places you don't mean to go. It'll mess your mind up. I visited a place one time, and I was up in Maryland somewhere preaching revival, and the pastor took me to a place where some folk were, had been mixed up on drugs, and it was an awful sight. I mean, I've seen other people in there trying to live a daily life in an awful mess, but I mean, these people were messed up, and this one boy, young man, fine-looking young man, and undoubtedly had been, they said, had intelligence and had been a great potential in him, but he was so messed up. He's talking about Jesus and said he was there when they crucified him, and he began to talk about things, and somebody else was telling me about the planets they'd been to and all this kind of stuff. Hey, I want you to know that stuff will mess your mind up. It'll mess you up, period, amen? And we need to heed that. And here they are having a drunken party. And every time I think about a drunken party, I think about John the Baptist. It was at a drunken party when they had his head cut off and brought in a charger and given to Herod. How sad that is, given to Herodias, rather. And that's a sad situation. Drinking liquor and beer. And you'd be surprised if folk would have beer in their refrigerators. Be interesting sometime to make surprise visits and say, I need a drink of water out of your refrigerator. May I go get it? That's all right. I'll get it for you. I'll get it for you. Don't bother. I was visiting home one night and a wine bottle kept rolling out from under the couch. I kind of feel sorry for the folks, so I kick it back under and it rolled back out. I kick it back and roll back out again. But after a while, I just got tired of it and kicked it to the side. Amen. And thought, my soul. And they need help, and we try and talk about Jesus to them and all that. But listen, these folk that get messed up on that, I'm trying to help you tonight. Don't get messed up on that junk, amen. And it'll mess you up sure enough. Belshazzar got messed up for sure. He was living in his riches. He was living in his idolatry. He was living in his drunken lifestyle. He thought he had it made. He thought the city was impregnable. He thought he was safe and secure. He thought everything was fine and he'd be all right, just right where he was doing what he thought he wanted to do. But isn't it sad he missed the very best that he could have had? That man that had probably everything that a heart could desire in this world as far as sin and corruption is concerned, but he did not have the Lord God in his heart. What a sad commentary that is. And so he's having his party. And having his good times, he thinks he's having a good time and all that, but someday good times run out. There's pleasure in sin for a season, but the season runs out, and when the season runs out, be sure your sin will find you out. And these folk tonight that would testify in this room that if they had it to do over, they'd have bypassed a whole lot of stuff, and they wouldn't have done some things that they did. And surely I have to say some things I wouldn't have done. You have to say the same thing if we had it to do over. But we only have one shot through this life. Let's make it count for God. Where we have failed, let's ask God to forgive us and help us. And then let's look forward to what God wants to do with us now and let God do for us as he wants to do. And here in this now, notice verse number 5. In the same hour as he got those vessels out, they were drinking out of them and thinking nothing about it. In the same hour came forth fingers of a man's hand. It wasn't the devil's and it wasn't some other spirit, but it was God's. Same hour came forth fingers of a man's hand, wrote over against the candlestick over upon the plaster of the wall of the king's palace. And the king saw the part of the hand that wrote. That's all he saw. Now you imagine being in this building tonight, and over there on the wall, there's a hand, but no, you couldn't see anything but a hand. But the hand had chalk in it, or a permanent marker, and was writing on the wall. And you couldn't read it, but it was writing on the wall anyhow. And what would you do? I know what I'd do. I'd be like Ben, Brother Wendy Bagwell, reckon where they want another door. Amen. I don't know what you would have done or thought about it. Well, of course, we're in church, and that might make a difference, but it may make us think more about it. But I certainly would have been concerned about it if there's a hand over there writing on that wall. I'd say, what kind of mess is this? Of course, we got so much technology today, they could probably work that out and have it done and do it. But in that day, they didn't have that. And he knew this is something supernatural. He knew something was going on that what didn't usually go on. So it wrote, then the king, look at verse number 6. Then the king's countenance was changed, and his thoughts troubled him, so that the joints of his loins were loose, and his knees smote one against another. In other words, here he was drinking liquor, and out of these vessels came out of Jerusalem, out of the temple, and here he was drinking his wine, having his party, great time. That hand began to write, and he looked at it and got so nervous and got so tore up that his knees smote one against the other. I believe his knees literally smote one another. I believe they literally banged together as he trembled and shook before that, and God got his attention. Amen. I'll say to you tonight, you remember when God got your attention? You remember when the Holy Ghost came by your way and got your attention? Your knees may not have smoked one against another, but there's something happened down the inside, and you begin to tremble and shake and begin to think about it. I've seen people stand in church and hold a pew and shake and tremble under Holy Ghost conviction. I pray for the seeing that again. Amen. I've seen some folk tore up here lately pretty good, but I'd love to see it get a little bit worse on them. I guess that's the way you put it, worse or better, whichever way you want to look at it. It's better for us and worse for them. But it's better for them if they yield to it and get right with God. Amen. And I'd love to see that. I pray to God to see that. I want to see that. And Brother Gary, my heart's desire is to see the power of God manifested and Holy Ghost conviction get a hold of folk and shake them up and let them see. You see, Belshazzar, he didn't pay attention to anything else until that hand wrote on the wall. And that was God intervening in his life. And you and I was living our lives and wasn't paying much attention to anything else until God intervened in our lives and got our attention, began to show us. I pray tonight God will intervene in somebody's life and show somebody what they need and get a hold of it. Amen. And see this. Now, I want to show you something else here in this word tonight, that if you look in verse number 12, please. Now, he'd already called in all the wise men he knew to call in. But let's look at verse 10 just for a minute. Now, the queen, by reason of the words of the king and his lords, came into the banquet house. She must not have been there either. She came in when she heard what was going on. Something over the banquet house going on, and the king's all tore up. Verse number 12. For as much as an excellent spirit and knowledge and understanding and interpreting of dreams and sharing of hard sentences and dissolving of doubts were found in the same Daniel, whom the king named Belshazzar. Now let Daniel be called, and he will show the interpretation. Now she's talking about Daniel being called and telling the king about him and what he could do. And here, verse number 13. Then was Daniel brought in before the king, and the king spake to Daniel, that Daniel, etc. And he began to talk to Daniel and promise him good things and all that. And you see this in this verse of scripture. Daniel was not at the party. Amen. He was not there. Now, he was a prince, and he was high up in authority in the land. But he was not at the party that the king gave. I believe that he was respected enough that he could stay away if he wanted to. And he did. And he stayed out of that. I don't believe it's a place for any child of God to be. Amen. We don't need to be messing around with the world in their thing. Now, we need to witness to the people and tell them about Jesus, but we don't need to get involved in where they are doing the things they're doing. And that's what he did not do. I thank God for Daniel. And by the way, when people get in big enough a mess and they realize how bad off they are, they'll want somebody that knows God to help them. I've had folk in my life that wouldn't have much to do with me at all until they really got to the bottom and they needed some help, and they called me and asked me if I'd help them. I've told y'all many times about working at Brunswick in a lab up there, and I come in at 4 o'clock, went to school during the day, worked at night, and tried to pastor a church part-time. But I come in, and they say, boy, the language's changing around here at 4 o'clock. And then some of them get to laughing, and they laugh, here comes a preacher. We better straighten up. They kind of make fun. Some of y'all know what it's like on the job, when they make fun of you and make light of you, but But I found out one old boy one night, and he was one of those kind that was, you know, had it made and rough kind of up there. But one night he called me aside, called me out by myself and said, "I need to talk to you." I said, "Hallelujah. I praise." Hey, listen, what I'm trying to say to you is this. These people, after pastoring and pastoring full time and wasn't on a public job, had people that would not come to the door, would not invite me in, would not have anything. But then tragedy would come and they would call and ask for some help. Hey, I'm glad. I didn't mind them calling me, asking me for help, because listen to me. That's what we desire. People reach a point where they need something from God, and God's the one can help them. Amen. I couldn't help them. I couldn't tell that young man anything, but I knew a God that could. I could tell him about Jesus Christ. I could tell him about the one that could save him and give him hope and could help him in the financial or physical or emotional or whatever trouble they was in. And I realized I'm no psychiatrist, and I'm no body that can help in some depth of things that people get into sometimes. But I do know this, that God can help anybody, anytime, anywhere, if we'll let him. And sometimes I realize physically, as physical things happen in bodies that we have to have some help with. But I'm telling you tonight, I've got a God big enough, great enough to know and our situations, and come help families, individuals, and help us in these days. Hey, we need help, and I'm glad we got one that can help us. Amen. And so old Belshazzar, he was in desperate shape. He so tore up, he sent for Daniel. Got Daniel there, and Daniel began to talk to him. Now listen to what he said in verse 17. Then Daniel answered and said unto the king, "Let thy gifts be to thyself. Give thy rewards to another. Yet I will read the writing unto the king and make known to him the interpretation. O thou king, the most high God gave Nebuchadnezzar thy father kingdom and majesty and glory and honor. And for the majesty that gave him, all people, nations, and languages trembled and feared before him. Whom he would, he slew; whom he would, he kept alive; and whom he would, he set up; and whom he would, he put down. But when his heart was lifted up," now listen closely, "when his heart was lifted up and his mind hardened in pride, he was disposed of his kingly throne, and he took his glory from him. He was driven from the sons of men. His heart was made like the beast, and his dwelling was with the wild ashes. They fed him with grass like oxen, but he was wet with the dew of heaven, till he knew that the Most High God ruled in the kingdom of men, and that he appointed over it whomsoever he will." Here he's telling him and reminding him what happened to Nebuchadnezzar. You remember the story? How Nebuchadnezzar, he simply lost it. And he got in such a shape they had to put him out there with the animals. And his fingernails grew like claws, the Bible says. And that his hair grew and all that stuff happened to him. And he ate grass like an ox did. He was in a terrible shape and was totally out of his mind until God came on the scene again. But what put him there was the fact that he got proud, had pride in his life, had all this glory around him, got proud about it, and God had to bring him down and let him know that God puts in and God takes out whomsoever he will. And you and I today, we need to remember that our God in this day is still on the throne. Amen. He's still on the throne, and God's still in charge. It don't look like he's in charge most of the time in the world, but I can tell you, he's still in charge. He knows everything, and he's got it all under control. It's right on time, and you and I are getting ready to get out of here, and we'll get out right on time. Won't be late, but we'll be on time and get out. But look at verse number 23. "But hast lifted up thyself against the Lord of heaven, and they have brought thee the vessels out of the vessels of the house before his house before thee. Thou and thy lords, thy wives, thy concubines have drunk wine in them. Thou hast praised the gods of silver, gold, of brass, iron, wood, and stone." He said, talking about back in verse number 22, "Thou, his son, O Belshazzar, hast not humbled thine heart, though thou knewest all this." He said, you knew about it. You knew what happened to Nebuchadnezzar. You knew. You were aware of it. But yet you going the same route that he went. And what he was saying was, you've had your opportunity. You could have listened. Nebuchadnezzar, even after he got back in his kingdom, he even made a statement, let everybody bow to the God of heaven. He knew that he was a God in heaven that put him back where he was. Hey, here, Belshazzar knew that, but yet he rebelled and didn't pay any attention to it. Let me tell you tonight, folk, you may be sitting here, somebody somewhere in this house, and say, well, I don't have to pay attention to that old preacher. I don't pay attention to what he's saying. Everything's all right. I'll be fine. Everything's going to be okay. Hey, you listen closely. God one day will say, that's enough. That's enough, and doom will come. And Belshazzar's doom came. Listen to what happened after this. After verse 24. And then was that part of the hand sent from him, and the writing was written. This is a writing that was written, Mene, Mene, Tekel, Upshai, Sin. This is the interpretation of the thing. Mene, God hath numbered thy kingdom and finished it. Tekel, thou art weighed in the balances and are found wanting. Perez, thy kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and Persians. He said it's going to be an end to it, going to be divided between the Medes and the Persians. In verse number 30, in that night was Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, slain. Darius the Median took the kingdom, being 62 years old. That very same night, Belshazzar thought he was so safe, thought everything was so great, and having such a great party. That same night, the enemy came in where he thought they couldn't get in. They came in and took the city, and Belshazzar was killed and doomed. He had the opportunity. He knew what God had done for Nebuchadnezzar. He knew there's a God in heaven. He'd been made aware of that. Had his opportunity, but said, no, no, no. And then went his own way. You go your own way, you'll pay your own price. There is a price to be paid. I remember Brother Gary talking about his son got right with God here recently and dedicated his life and said the preacher preached about Jonah went down and paid the fine to go where he's going. Hey, if you go out your own way, leave God out of your life, you'll pay the fine. You'll pay the price. You say, preacher, I'll get by. No, you won't. God said, whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. There'll come a day, and payday will come, and your doom will come. And let me say to you tonight, in Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 4, all souls are mine. As the soul of the Father, so also the soul of the Son, and the soul that sinneth, it shall die. God made that statement. God said that in Romans 5. And I believe 24, somewhere in there, talks about, for by one man sin came into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Ain't not a person in the house hadn't sinned. And so we've all sinned. You can't get by. God's doom will come. He'll see to it. He'll see to it. And then you realize the fact that your condemnation's already been passed. Listen, if you're unsaved, you don't know God, you're without Christ, hear me well tonight, your condemnation's already set. In John 3:18, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Condemned already. In John 3:36, he that hath the Son hath everlasting life. He that hath not the Son hath not life. And shall not see life. I mean, don't even have it, can't see it, never will. You remember Nicodemus came to Jesus by night, and Jesus said, you must be born again. And so tonight, I'm trying to tell you, you must be born again. Revelation 20:15 said, when the death and hell gave up the dead that were in them, by the way, if you die without Christ, you go to hell. If you've reached an age of accountability, if you know you ought to get saved, don't get saved. If you're in a place where the Holy Ghost has convicted you and drawn you, and you're not saved, then there'll be a day if you haven't had to die out here in a car wreck, accident like happened yesterday or something like that, where would you go anyway? Are you sure you're going to heaven tonight? If you're not, you're going to hell. And so I'm glad tonight I know that I'm saved and going toward heaven. And heaven is my home. In fact, is I'm as good as delivered already. I'm just running down here as an ambassador to another country from my home country. And one day the king's going to call me back to my home country. Amen. And hallelujah for it. But what I'm trying to tell you tonight is Revelation 20:15, when hell and death give up the dead, see, give up the dead, all the dead stand there unsaved. He'll say, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity, I never knew you. And the Bible said there in Revelation 20:15, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. The lake of fire. What a sad situation. Think about going in a lake of fire. You say, preacher, you can't live in a lake of fire. You don't know where the soul of man can live. It'll exist. I wouldn't call it living, I call it existing. Because the Bible says it's a second death. Death, by the way, is not going annihilation. That's not death. Death does not do away with your being. Death is simply separation. And if we save people die right now, then we are separated from our bodies and going to heaven, separated from our loved ones down here. But if you're unsaved, you go to hell and be separated from God, separated from music, separated from everything that's good and right and holy, clean and pure, separated. But I'm glad tonight you can come to know Jesus Christ as your Savior. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. The doom. Belshazzar thought he'd get by, but God wrote his doom with his finger, his own finger. You're weighed in the balances and found wanting. We all are weighed in God's balances and found wanting unless we've been saved by the grace of God, and grace and mercy outweighs our sin and our corruption. You do not think about your life. You do not think about where you're going. This life's over. It won't be for, you're not going to be here in this body forever. It'll soon be over. You may be a young person tonight. You may be a child. You may be an older person. But your life will soon be over. You don't know Jesus. You need to come and know him. You need to come tonight if you're saved. You realize your life is not where it needs to be with God. God wants to help you. Father, I pray you'd seal this words to listening hearts. Help people to come. Lord, precious folk here that need to be saved, I pray the Holy Spirit would make it real to them. Their doom is written in the Word of God. If they don't come to Jesus Christ and be saved, then I pray, Lord, you'd help those that are here saved. They need to come and let you help them in their situation, whatever their life is, or they need help. We'll thank you and praise you. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Won't you stand, please? We're not going to sing right yet. We'll sing in just a little bit, the Lord willing. But anyway, while we stand with heads bowed, eyes closed, she's playing softly on the piano. God's speaking to your heart. God's saying something to you, and you need to come. Why don't you step out right now and come to Jesus? You say, preacher, I don't know what to do. You just come. Somebody stand there with you. Come with you. If you'll come and let Jesus help you, will you come? God's speaking to your heart. God dealing with your life. You know you need something. Won't you let God help you? Won't you let God help you tonight while he speaks to your heart and deals with your life? Just let God help you. God will do that for you. I'm going to ask you another question tonight. I'm not trying to embarrass you. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to come to you. But I wonder how many of you tonight could honestly say, preacher, I know if I had to die right now, I'd go to heaven. Would you raise your hand up high? Praise God. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Not everybody could raise your hand on that. Why don't you come to Jesus tonight? Let Jesus help you. I believe Jesus is speaking to your heart. I believe God's saying something to you. The devil will tell you, do it some other time, wait some other day. But God's gently touching in the heart, saying you need to come and be saved. Why don't you do that? Come to Jesus. God will help you. I feel so definite tonight God's speaking to that precious heart. We're waiting on you and God. People are praying. We're not going to prolong the invitation, but God's speaking to you. What an opportunity you have. There's people screaming in hell tonight that would love to have your opportunity right now. You have it. Will you respond to it? Then let me ask you that are saved. I'm not asking you to respond to me, but what about your life? What about your life? Is it where God wants it to be? Father, I pray in Jesus' name the Holy Spirit would deal with hearts. God knows that we have such a burden for tonight. I pray in Jesus' name you'd help them to come. They may not be drunkards. They may not be partiers. They may not be out in sin like that. But Lord, they know they need Jesus. They know they need to be saved. I pray the Holy Spirit make it real. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's sing, Brother Tim.